You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas, and I hope you're having a great day. Thanks so much for downloading us and checking us out. Subscribe to the podcast, if you would. That helps us out a bunch. But I'm not alone here. I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, Mr. Don Longbeard.
That'd be me.
It is you.
Yes, sir.
And we are going to be talking tonight about UFOs. Those unidentified flying objects, Don. Mm-hmm. And last time we talked a little bit about, a lot of generalized concepts and ideas about it. I shared my experience, which, mm-hmm. which was incredibly profound, if I do say so myself. But it's such an amazing idea to think that as big as the cosmos is, that it's potentially teeming with life. I think to me, that's a really exciting concept. It's like, we're not alone. We're not on this little rock floating out on the fringe of a huge galaxy all by ourselves, that there's all kinds of stuff going on. You know, maybe it's kind of like living out in, we're homesteading out in the range here, but we know somewhere else there's these teeming metropolises of life and things going on. And I don't know, I find a comfort in that. What are your thoughts?
It's kind of scary in a sense, because we've always felt, at least, that we're alone here. We don't know what's going on in the greater aspects beyond our Earth. And so when you really think about, not being alone, it would be egotistical of me to say, yeah, no, we're the only sentient life forms in everything of everything, you got to really keep an open mind and go, what if there is somebody out there that's bigger and badder than us? There's been
almost definitely there is. I mean, I just got to believe that. Yeah.
But I find it egotistical for me to think that we are the it of the universe.
Right.
But when you think of, the top of the food chains kind of thing, we're not there. We're not there.
No.
We're little bugs. And, with all the great expanse out there, there's got to be something more.
Sure.
Hopefully, what Stephen Hawking said about, they'll come and eat us is not going to be true.
I don't know. See, here's the thing, and you said there's got to be, maybe there's somebody bigger, better and badder than us.
Right.
Most certainly we can't be as good as it gets,
Right, yeah.
And I love, our planet. I love our world. I love the people in this world, but we're still really broken, we're really broken.
Right.
And I got to believe that out there is probably a better, a better example of, how to do this right.
Right.
So, you hear the concepts about, are we in this extraterrestrial zoo and basically they're just hopping in the RV and stopping by to look at the exhibits. But, you know, I mean, so here's the other problem with that, though. And I'm kind of being random here, and I don't mean to be, but this is always something that pops into my head when I think about, well, they're here and they're checking us out. The problem for me is that most definitely, most probably, most possibly, they have the ability to help, you know, and it bothers me that if they're out there, and I believe they are because I've seen what I believe was an extraterrestrial craft, and they're out there, they're coming by, they're checking us, and I'm sure they're plugged into all of our technology so that they know exactly everything that's going on.
Right.
Why don't they help, you know?
Well, you know, maybe they're trying to, you know, and we've heard this before, you know, we've talked to other people,
right?
You know, our friend Jim and such, and you know, they say they're not here to help us, but they're not here to hinder us either,
right?
Until we do something really stupid.
So that means that we're entertainment. Well, I mean, really, that's like watching TV at that point.
Well, the thing is what exactly is really stupid? Fukushima?
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned this last time too. You know, they'll never let us use nukes on each other. What? But they'll let us develop them and destroy the planet.
Right.
That doesn't sound like they're here to help, you know? I mean,
yeah, I'm not sure what they're doing here exactly.
They'll survive another couple, nuclear meltdowns.
So, for me, there's no question that they are here. The question for me in this whole discussion, not that this is what the show is going to be about. Right. Why aren't they helping? And I hear, you hear this every once in a while when I've discussed this point, you hear this reflection to the prime directive of Star Trek.
Yes.
And I, you know, I'm here to, my position on this, I'm here to say, if you have the ability, but choose not to, then that's really freaking broken.
Right.
You know, there's really something wrong at that point because how could you? I mean, I can't hardly walk by a spider web without pulling something out of it. You know,
right,
I mean,
right.
That's just, with my empathy, and it's probably really, really flaky of me, but it's like, I don't know. I just got to help if I can.
Well,
I just feel like that's my mandate as a person trying to be a good person this world.
You mentioned, you know, to not help is the bigger, is the more faux pas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sure, okay, that might be true. So what if, just as something that popped in my head, what if they're waiting for us to help ourselves? Like, you know, helping our homeless.
Right.
Helping our less fortunate, you know, helping, you know, make it, you know, figuring out how to make it a better place. You know, actually, it was funny. I was reading, I read a lot of sci-fi and what they call space operas now. And
I didn't hear any singing in any of them yet.
But you know, one of the books was they were humans that came back to Earth, like 1,000 years later, after leaving, and the Greek gods are dying away. But you know, anyhow. So, but the ones that came back, the humans that came back to Earth, were so far advanced than we at Earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't want to do anything. They didn't want to help because they were afraid that they would, you know, unbalance what we've already got. Well, lo and behold, Earth was supposed to be destroyed to make way for an intergalactic, you know, highway, but or something like that. They were just in trouble. We were going to die. They showed up and bang, it was done. And then, you know, they helped us. So, you know, the idea is that, you know, even though, you know, we might be to a place where we can't help ourselves anymore,
right,
and we need somebody to step in. But
right,
do we want rulers or do we want partners?
It's a good question. I don't know. I believe that they, you know, if they are here and if all that stuff about the Eisenhower Accords and et cetera,
right,
is true, then they probably are involved somewhere. But I don't know. It's just really confusing, but I think it's a fascinating topic. Of course, the whole morality of it and the whole philosophical reasoning behind it.
Right.
I don't begrudge them for not getting involved.
Well, yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. There's so much that they could fix in just a quick hurry.
Right.
And it would certainly improve the circumstances for countless people.
Right.
And yet they don't or haven't or
choose not to.
Choose not to.
Yeah,
right.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever the logic of it is. But those are those are really interesting points, but I think that's probably a discussion for greater minds than mine.
Oh yeah, me too.
You know, that's just my quick reflections on that. But I think the interesting thing is that, of course, there's the discussion with these things. Many people are seeing these craft. Mm-hmm. They're seeing these craft in the night skies, and they're seeing them perform maneuvers that shouldn't be possible with our terrestrial technology as we understand it.
Right.
Now, what I find curious is like the what is it, the TR-3B? Is that the black triangles?
Manta, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Those are believed to be reverse engineered. So a lot of times when people are claiming to see these black triangles in the sky with weird lights and performing these amazing feats of technology, that they are in fact ours and are the result of black projects, and perhaps they are. I don't know. Last episode we touched a bit on the Roswell thing,
right?
And of course, the prevailing theories is that there was a craft recovered,
right?
And it has been being dissected and backwards engineered for generations, and many of the technological advances that we experience in our world could very well be the result of that, like fiber optics and Velcro. And, you know, there's so many different things that are apparently...
I don't know how Velcro falls in.
I don't know either.
It's weird.
It is a weird thing, though. I mean, how did somebody figure out, you know, you put all these little plastic hooks and then a bunch of loops. And
okay. How did anybody figure out that it was okay to eat cherries for that matter?
I don't know. I wonder that very thing, actually.
You know, tomatoes.
That's another thing
red
that I wonder, honest to God. Yeah, red is always bad, usually. Any bright
tomatoes
colors.
Are so good, though.
And oranges. I mean, anything brightly colored is usually poisonous.
That's why blackberries are so good.
Right, yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's an interesting thing. What if there is this breakaway technology? There is these black projects going on, and what are they doing now? Some general allegedly is on record saying that we have the technology now to bring ET home, and that's a hell of a statement to make without there being some kind of foundation for it.
Right.
And who is it? Ben Rich of Lockheed, or was it Lockheed Martin or Skunk Works or whatever? That he was the CEO of one of those companies has, I don't think he ever came out and absolutely admitted it, but he definitely alluded to the fact that there was a lot of things going on that people don't know about and can't know about. And I'm probably going to butcher the hell out of it by trying to paraphrase anything he said, but I found a few videos online of him and talking about technology and talking about the possibilities and stuff. And so if this person in that position can allude to the fact that we have, you know, these perhaps craft and our backwards engineering of them and creating new developments, then, you know, it's all on the table. It's all right there,
right.
You know.
But yet they say that we don't have the technology to return to the moon.
Right. Now, how does that work?
That's a good question.
So, I mean, you know, you hear about the Van Allen belt or the radiation belt or whatever.
Right.
And that is a big hurdle. And I guess even a NASA scientist is on record going, yeah, but we lost that technology that we used back in the 60s. It's like,
no, we moved so far past it. What are you talking about?
Neil Armstrong has lived a really long life. Mitchell lived a really long life afterwards. So these guys didn't come back glowing.
No.
So where did this radiation belt come from?
Right.
That didn't seem to be a problem in the 60s when they were lobbing missiles up and, you know, putting people at the cone of them, you know.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's like, what in the hell is going on? So how come that is? What are your thoughts about that?
You know, I think it's, you know, nobody, I think it's got something to do with what I call the Scotty paradox, from Star Trek, you know, Scotty, you need more power. Captain, I'm giving her all she's got. I think that they're kind of backpedaling and trying to withdraw some of that knowledge, not release so much of it in one form or another. And I think it's there because, you know, it's like every 10 years we do a 50-year leap or something like that, you know, in technology or some kind of science or something like that. But yet we still haven't figured out how to cure cancer, which wasn't a problem before 1965. So, you know, I think it's just them stepping back going, you know what, we're giving up too much. I think it's not disinformation. I think it's just them not disclosing. They don't want to disclose as much as it's come out already. So they're backpedaling saying, oh, we don't have this technology anymore, which is a bunch of garbage because, I mean, even if you can fire even a steam-powered rocket 1,700 feet into the air, there's got to be something wrong there because, I just think it's part of the disinformation.
Yeah.
I really do.
Well, it's curious. There seems to be a lot of agendas at work here, and I don't know, what the end game of all of this is. What are they waiting for? Is there a breakaway civilization that's all set to go launch into space and find another planet to abuse, or what? But I mean, you look at the '60s, and essentially that was like Wile E. Coyote kind of engineering, right? You just you get a big rocket and you strap yourself at the cone and you aim at the moon and go. You light the fuse and boom, you're out into space heading towards the moon.
Right.
Now, granted, they were, there was a hell of a lot of engineering and problem solving going on, but I do find it weird that all of a sudden we can't go back to the moon.
Right.
That to me is very bizarre.
Well, and like I mentioned in the last one, we sent Voyager, the two Voyager probes,
sure,
beyond our solar system.
Right.
They're gone. Gone. Yeah. We sent them. We got pictures of Saturn. We got pictures of Neptune. We had to curve one around to get between between Uranus and Pluto. But sure. But they're gone. They sent back their pictures two decades ago, and they were in fantastic pictures. But we don't have. How can we do that and yet not be able to go back to the moon? As I said, I think it's just they're backpedaling now. So
very strange, ladies and gentlemen. But that's our discussion tonight is kind of a whole lot of can of worms, I guess. The portal always starts out with a good idea, like, hey, let's talk about this. But the portal is a discussion, and we end up going, the conversation goes the way the conversation goes. I think these are all incredibly thought-provoking discussion points. It's disturbing to think that there's such a power structure around information. And I guess, that seems to be the direction we're going tonight, is talking about these ideas of reverse technology and why can't we go to the moon? Was the moon landing a hoax? Well, I don't think so. I don't think it was.
I don't think so either.
No, but I know that's a real popular discussion point out there.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, and I honestly don't know how people think the Earth is several different shapes either. But yeah. I don't begrudge people the right to believe in whatever they want. Yep. You can worship cabbage if that's important to you. As far as I'm concerned, if you believe that cabbage is holy and is gonna redeem your soul from all your transgressions, then. Whatever.
Enjoy.
Yeah, have a good time.
And then
good
have
luck to you.
Coleslaw afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. Can make a mean soup as well. But, it's to me, it's not threatening if people think the planet is flat. It's not threatening to me if people think that there was never a moon landing.
Right.
If they think that was all a fabrication of sorts in order... And I understand, and actually some of the points they bring up are absolutely compelling. When they talk about the space race with the Russians back then.
Right.
Of course we wanted to get there first. I mean, that was the Red Menace was going to try to get there. And, that was the big thing about, fighting communism everywhere. And, of course, we had to beat them to show our dominance, and.
Well, though there's the other side of that.
Just a sec.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I just wanted to say that the idea that there could be a fabrication of a moon landing to me makes sense based on that argument. But I do think it actually happened though.
Right.
But I can understand that is a compelling argument. There was a big push and race and, after we took over Project Paperclip, brought over all these scientists like Wernher von Braun, he'd been at that for a long time in Germany, and so he brought all that with him.
Right.
And he is really, as you know, he's basically the godfather of our space program.
Definitely.
You
know, yep.
So he brought, if we had to start from scratch, we would never have beat the Russians. You know, yep. We wouldn't have, but we, you know, we had Wernher von Braun, and he had, you know, working rockets already by that time.
The V2s, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, for him to retrofit that technology into a space program made perfect sense.
Right.
Now, without that, it would never have happened.
Right.
But I'm sure that they did it, and I'm sure that, you know, in my reality,
yes,
I should say that, you know, I'm sure that they did, and they went to the moon and went back several times, and but again, what doesn't make sense is why did you quit?
Yeah.
You know. So what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
Well, no, there was a couple things I was going to say. One thing I was going to say was. Oh, then there's the flip side of that argument about how it was just the space race was just the end of working to end the Cold War in the sense of trying to bankrupt one country before the other one does. So just try and run them out of money with this thought that you can go to the moon and, you know, so who's going to spend the most money to get there?
Right, along with the arms race as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. And oh, no, we never built all those. We just use it as an excuse to get them to waste their money on this, that, and the other thing. Well, okay, you know, so explain why we have nuclear weapons.
Right.
You know, but there's another thing, too, is, you know, maybe there is a reason why we don't go back to the moon, and maybe that reason is because we are not welcome there.
Right.
You know, if you go, you know, and you look at the secret space program, you dive into that rabbit hole. You know, it gets deep, you know, and they said that, you know, they found, you know, you know, the famous ones, Armstrong and all of them when they first
the Apollo
went there.
Missions, yeah.
Yeah. All the Apollo missions that landed there, you know, they said that, you know, they found a mummy. There was supposedly a mummy
yes.
found. There was supposedly an ancient alien structure that
spacecraft.
Yeah, spacecraft.
Yep.
So maybe there is something up there that's hiding on the quote unquote dark side of the moon, which really isn't a dark side of the moon. You know, maybe there is something up there, and they said, well, you know what? This is not your territory. Go away. You know?
Right.
Don't come back.
Exactly. Now that to me is as odd as it sounds, but that to me
sounds more likely.
that makes more sense to me than, well, we don't remember how we got there, and
right,
we can't really duplicate
that
anymore. I mean, that's like, you know, we've got supercomputers, we've got,
right.
You know, fiber optics, we've got, you know, so much more advancements, but, you know, we forgot how to lob a rocket into space.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Not reasonable.
You know, it isn't. It doesn't make sense. And honestly, in a lot of ways, I find it incredibly condescending.
Uh huh. Yeah.
It's
how
like,
dumb do they think we are?
Well, clearly. Clearly, they're pretty sure we're out here chewing on wires and stuff,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I mean, really.
Oh, let's lick this up.
Hey, lick that outlet, see what happens. You know, I mean, it's just that it's such a condescending place to be to yeah. imply that, you know, these people, well, just, who cares? Just tell them this and
right.
they're going to buy it. And it's unfortunate, but there again, wasn't it Eisenhower who warned about the military-industrial
yes.
complex?
Yep.
Now, I really believe that the space programs and the military-industrial complex are absolutely, you know, it's like an ancestral relationship, of course. You know, I mean,
yeah.
really. That's
yeah.
They are absolutely feeding off each other, and one place will, whatever research is going on in one place will benefit the other.
Right.
Well, you know,
yeah.
and vice
yeah.
versa.
Absolutely.
And I really think that the, you know, unfortunately the drive for space dominance now
yeah.
is military, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now the curiosity is of course Space Force.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously NASA decided suddenly that they were going to scrap all of the shuttles
mm-hmm.
and not replace them, which makes no sense either. Well, or did they replace them? But we just don't know what they replaced them with.
Right.
You know,
well, you know, it comes down to what I'll refer to as fuzzy math.
Okay.
Because Reagan was talking about the space race and the
sure.
and the you know the ability to be you know to put up a global
Wars.
Defense. Yeah, he was
yep.
Star Wars. He was
yep.
talking about the Star Wars stuff exactly. And you know why did a hammer cost you know $1,500? You know and. Why
there's a hell of a hammer, I'll tell you that.
That's a big freaking hammer. What is that, a space hammer?
Yeah, and that's funny because I got like a 30-year-old hammer in my toolbox and it works
yeah.
great. So I'm not sure what a $15,000 hammer does, but...
But, it, you know, I mean, it's...
It better make me a sandwich as well as drive nails.
Hey, get over here and vacuum my floor. Yeah. You know, there's all kinds of things. I mean, you know, there's the draining of, you know, the military budgets and things like mm-hmm. that. And the what do they call it? The pork programs, uh-huh. things like that budgets and things like that.
Sure.
You know, that siphons money off. Where does this money go?
Right.
You know, I mean, there's all kinds of money missing, you know, and so what did that go for? I mean, what is really up there? Is the ISS really just the piece of tin can that they say it is?
Now that's interesting. Something just occurred to me. Mm. Something just occurred to me now, because and ladies and gentlemen, I don't know. I'm kind of a connoisseur of just weirdness, but I came across this discussion online ages ago. But it was talking about, I think it was actually Rand Paul was talking about as well more recently about wasteful spending,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking about different studies that are going on,
mm-hmm.
and I mean they're just the most stupid studies, they're like millions of dollars. to like watch sleeping lemurs,
yeah,
you know, and it's like what in the hell do we need to watch a lemur sleep for? Are we going to learn something from watching them, you know, or the mating habits of fruit flies? It's like, really, right. is that helping us somehow? So maybe that's one of the ways that they funnel money into black projects,
right?
Is to create all these nonsense studies that actually exist,
right?
But on paper, it looks like it's scientific studies, and it's,
well, we've said it before,
academic.
Science is bought.
Yes, yes. And gentlemen, you'd have to be familiar with the portal to understand what Donna's talking about. But we've talked about that on the show before. And basically, our contention with scientific studies, scientific research, is that, you know, and I'm going on a limb here, but I think it can be purchased, and it has been purchased. We've seen examples of science being purchased. We're going to get into that right on the other side of the break, though. So hang on, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go away.
The ride has just begun.
Oh, we're just priming the tanks. So.
Priming the flux capacitor. Yeah. Let's get out of here.
Once we hit 88, it's all game on. All right. But don't go away, guys. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. This is the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm Brent Thomas, joined by my good buddy and co-host Don Longbeard.
That's
here on the studio.
Still me.
It's still you. And just before the break, we were talking about, what were you talking about, Don?
We were talking about how money's getting siphoned off on stupid scientific.
We were talking about science being purchased.
Yes.
Now, an example of that, and oftentimes people cite studies and they cite science, you know, and basically science is a grand tool, and I'm not degrading science at all. I think it is indeed a grand tool,
mm-hmm.
and it has done many amazing things. However, science can be purchased, and the way it's purchased is by funding. So, for instance, for generations upon generations, smoking was absolutely not risky for you at all.
Mm-hmm.
They had science that could prove that. They could prove that it wasn't any more risky than, you know, drinking tap water, you know, or whatever. I mean, really, it's just like, which there again is pretty risky nowadays, but back in the day, I mean, this science was purchased, and there were professional sciences that were creating research to validate a point. And it was economically driven. It was economically funded, obviously, which is a really stupid statement now that I think about it, but, there was no integrity in those studies at all,
mm-hmm.
because clearly now, and even then, we knew smoking was dangerous,
mm-hmm.
but it couldn't be proven until a lot of people got together and really pooled resources and put it into other studies that could debunk the bought studies. And now we know smoking is dangerous and it's been outlawed pretty much everywhere. Indoor smoking is, you know, a thing of the distant past, and because of the risks of secondhand smoke, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the point is that research can be purchased. And that's when people cite studies, when people cite research, that always makes me kind of cringe, because it's like, well, who funded that research? And, you know, research is funded. It's and with that funding comes an expectation. I believe that research that is funded through governmental programs is funded to derive certain results. And I'm not trying to jump on a conspiracy wagon here. I'm really not. But we've seen so many examples of bad science that was purchased.
Right.
And so that's the reference to what Don is saying when he's talking about science being purchased. So go ahead, Don. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, well, no, that's fine. That's fine. But, you know, my brain has moved past that. But,
okay.
Well, you know, but then again, you know, let's look at statistics. Statistics can be manipulated any way you want.
Sure.
It just depends on which 100 people you're talking to. You know, there's 100 select people that we talk to, and out of those 100 people, 99 agreed that there's no such thing as space.
Right.
You know, so, but, you know, you had a 99 on the other side of the saying, right. You know, oh, yeah, we went to the moon, you know. So, I mean, it's all point of view. It's also very skewed, because you only find you vet people.
Yeah.
And then you find the people that you vetted, you vet the people that you, that are going to answer the way you want them to.
Right.
So, you know, so you, in that case, you find the scientists that are going to say what you want them to say so they can get their grant money.
Right.
So, but I mean, I think there's so much more to it though. I think there is a, you know, a secret space program. I think there's a possibility of that. It's a good possibility. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that there, you know, we may or may not be invited back to the moon. You know, as I said earlier, maybe we were asked not to come back, but maybe we found a way to weasel our way back into there, because we're pretty good at that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's not unbelievable that they just want to, you know, they want to turn us back in our knowledge. I mean, and plus, who writes the histories? The victors.
Yeah.
And the victors right now are not us, we the people.
No, it's not. I mean, and clearly we've got a lot of issues in our world that right. have to do with corruption and such. I mean,
but I think that's part of the reason that we don't know as much as we do about what may be happening on the face of our earth, and maybe even in these like Dulce Base and things like that, you know, in New Mexico and such.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I think there's so much more, you know, and I think the disinformation is just getting worse and worse.
Yeah, I think so too. But
we never
I
made it to the moon. No, that's not true.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, and it's fine if that's what people need to believe. That's okay. I mean, it probably doesn't change a whole lot on, you know, in most people's eyes, you know, in the course of their day. It probably doesn't matter whether people actually went to the moon or not.
No, not really.
But I think that it you know, those were really grand achievements, because, I mean, those guys were basically wrapped in tinfoil and lobbed into space, and they made it back.
Like a baked potato. You know?
It really was. It's like, how did they make it back? It's like, I don't know what kind of testicles those people had. But,
no doubt.
You know, and not to degrade, you know, women at all. Please forgive me. That's not what I'm saying. It just has to do with you know, the bravery.
Chutzpah.
Yeah. But it's just the idea that these people were maybe a little crazy, but they did it. They did it. And the things that have come in the wake of that, I think, have been pretty tremendous. And it's an achievement of the human spirit in my mind. So I would rather that was real.
Right.
I mean, no lie that is my bias, because it does speak to, you know, the will of people to manifest their reality. And,
right.
and so, and they did, but, you know, the moon base thing is really interesting. Now, Don, Apparently, during those Apollo missions, they dropped like a bomb or something. Or they dumped a fuel container.
Yeah, they released like like the last fuel container that was, you know, blasting them off. And I believe it was 13, Apollo 13. But they used a term. They said that the moon rang like a bell.
Rang like a bell, ladies and gentlemen. So, Don, do you think the moon could just be an alien base, not a planetoid of its own?
Well, you know, there is hollow moon theory.
Well, there's hollow earth theory as well, and that's something we'll definitely get into. But
the question is what kind of a satellite is the moon?
Right. That's the thing, is it a Death Star?
Right. Oh, God, no. Yeah, you know, what's actually hiding on the opposite side of the moon is that big, you know.
That big dish.
Yes. The giant reflector. But you know, so people are going to say, well, there's no such thing as you know, sound in space. So okay, it was used as a reference to say it vibrated.
Right.
When it hit, it vibrated like a bell would, and it was picked up by the spacecraft or the you know what I mean, our space shuttle. Mm-hmm. As a vibration that translated into a ringing because of the vibration. So anyhow,
maybe not a shuttle, but yeah.
They were capsules at that time. But,
space capsule, yeah.
I mean, that brings up the question, you know, is it a space base?
Right.
Is it something that naturally happened? Like say the collision of Planet X and Tiamat, you know, was it just what was left over after the Earth started to congeal and cool, and it was just caught in the gravity of the, or was it towed here from somewhere else?
Right. Now that's an interesting point. And here's the thing. I heard some theoretical physicist or scientist talking about utilizing like big meteors and stuff as interstellar craft because. Right. These things have been in space for millions of years. They've survived the rigors of space for millions of years. So, you know, would it be benevolent to repurpose some of these chunks of space rock into craft themselves? And, you know, so maybe the moon is just a really early adoption of that. Now, way, way back... I remember hearing a story, and this is kind of, it doesn't really have to do with the moon, but it does have to do with the idea that there's potentially millions of year old technology out there.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was is apparently when they were observing a star, they noticed a weird pattern that they couldn't reconcile. But one of the scientists, a theoretical scientist, physicist, or astrophysicist, whatever, postulated that it could be a Dyson sphere around that star.
Hmm.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, what a Dyson sphere basically is the idea that you encapsulate the star, not blanketing it off perfectly, but you encapsulate it with a large structure so that you're able to utilize the entire energy of that star in order to do whatever it is you need doing that requires a star's worth of energy.
Right.
And now that's the light that's getting here now. And that light left there tens of millions of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the kind of technological advancement to do that is nowhere in our scope of idea. I mean, we have a concept for a Dyson sphere of surrounding a sun with tools and things that would appropriate all that energy for use.
Right.
But the scale and scope of such a thing is so far beyond what we can even imagine.
Right.
Here's the potential of an ancient civilization, which may very well still be around, but millions of years ago, doing just that.
You know what? That's interesting because it's been postulated that the mega structures around the world, the Giza pyramids, you know, the Mesoamerican pyramids, are actually like power tuners, you know? So mm-hmm. So what if there is a star out there with a Dyson sphere around it, and those were the receivers? And we've talked about, you know, we've talked about how did these structures and things be built without, because we still can't build them. We can't build, we can't lift those blocks. We just can't. So how did they do it? Well, maybe there was an ancient civilization here before us that had a Dyson sphere that used the pyramids and such as receivers, and they funneled the power down to those and somehow used the resonance of the power. However,
maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Now, here's the thing is that as fantastical as any of that might sound, ladies and gentlemen, here's the, in a purely scientific model, if you cannot absolutely identify the solution for a problem, then every potential solution is still possible.
Right.
And so that's that. I mean, that's literally the pure scientific method, is that you can't remove anything just because of a paradigm or because, oh, that's way too fantastic, because you have to examine all possibilities until such a time as you can come to a solution to the problem.
Right.
At that point, then you can dismiss all the other ideas as not viable. But the idea of the pyramids being an ancient construction of some incredibly advanced race and generating power by virtue, and I know that the water damage was believed, you know, that they used to run Nile River water through it, and somehow that in conjunction with the obelisks would create a circuit, and they you know, they had the light bulbs and stuff, that some of those hieroglyphs have been interpreted to be light bulbs. So could they have been an interstellar kind of power source that was being utilized there? Sure. To me, it's all on the map. I don't think that we certainly can't remove possibilities.
It's funny you said that, because that reminded me that there is a mega mound in China.
Okay.
That has a lake of mercury in it.
Oh, yes. That's around a temple, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Qin Shi Huang is, I believe it was.
Okay.
It was his tomb.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, a lake of mercury in there. Now, I wonder, you know, when you were talking about, you know, water as a potential, that could be a potential power line, you know, because electricity will move through water like you wouldn't believe. But I wonder what mercury would do with it, because I don't know the magical properties of mercury.
Quicksilver? Let me tell you. No, I'm sure it conducts electricity fantastically.
Yeah, so I wonder if that has anything to do with it, if it was tuned into these, if you're following my postulations.
Yeah.
You know, so anyhow, just a thought.
Yeah, it's curious. I don't know. It's hard to say. And there again, are these things the leftovers of some ancient civilization that was here and decided to, you know, move on out? Now, when people kind of moved across the country back in the day, the pioneers were going to the West, the gold rush and new possibilities and stuff. But along the way, sometimes they would set up places to stay.
Right.
And they would stay for a year or two or three and then continue their journey on. So maybe some of what we're finding here is the leftovers of an ancient civilization.
We're going to go to Earth and camp for 2 years and then we're take off again.
Yeah, we're going to go. We're going to head on over to Andromeda, but I think we'll stop by Earth and, you know, spend a few millennia.
Right.
And then we'll move on after we've gained enough resources. You never know. I mean, good God. Anything is possible. But, the funny thing is that apparently if these advents were the result of ancient aliens, as the as the show suggests, and I think they really have something. I think there's some merit to what they're going over on that show, but they're still coming. They're still here. Right. Now, I've often thought maybe we're like an intergalactic 7-Eleven,
right?
You know, like this is just the place where they stop
to get road snacks.
Yeah, you know, we're going to be in this section of the galaxy. Well, you got to stop over and grab some snacks. And maybe that's like cows and stuff when they get sucked up and, right. you know, when they remove lips and they core the anuses.
What is with you and coring? Oh my God.
Well, you know, the things that they find is just disturbing. It's like laser like precision. There's like, there's no anus in these things at all. It's like they're just gone.
Oh my God. Like, here we go with that again.
It must be a delicacy or something is what I'm saying.
We're going to stop and get some cow butt.
Like, that's like our chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
They need some cow anus, and that just makes the deal. I don't know.
Gotta eat that beef intestines.
Yeah. It's like it's like fries. I don't know.
KFC.
Ay, ay, ay.
Goodness. Okay.
It's all on the map here on the Portal, though, ladies and gentlemen. We don't, you see, the thing is we will never claim to be experts. No. We're not even probably professional.
I don't think we even rank as laymen.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't know.
But we're enthusiasts.
Yes.
And that's the thing. And the Portal will always be a discussion. And we like to talk about ideas. We like to throw things out there and bounce them around and see if they, you know, have any air or not. Sometimes we are absolutely talking out of our rears, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, really.
But not the cow rears.
No.
There aren't any.
But it's just that, you know, the Portal is always a discussion. So we don't pretend to be solving any of these problems, any of these riddles, but we enjoy the dialogue. Right. And that's what the show is. And many times it's just Don and I doing the show. But, you know, we do have great guests, and we'll have some great guests coming up in the near future.
Oh, yeah.
As well for these shows. But it's just a dialogue. It's a discussion. It's a, you know, it's a consideration and just examining possibilities. You know, again, the paranormal doesn't lend itself to any kind of study.
No.
So far, they're not parking the UFOs out in the lawn here so I can go take a look.
There's no cockroach in an Egger suit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. We have to get Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones over here. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, that's what the show is and will always be. So this is hopefully this gives you a good idea what you're in for if you subscribe to the Paranormal Portal. But, you know, we're not always silly. We're not always light. There's certainly plenty of seriousness in what we're discussing, because even though, you know, we like to have fun and be light doing it, what we're talking about really are things that I'm concerned about or I'm curious about.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, being a paranormal enthusiast it's one of the most fantastical things, but it's also one of the most frustrating things, because there are no real answers.
Right.
There are just a lot of people with a lot of ideas, but that's what I love, because, you know, it's like a scientific thought experiment. You know, like when we have Brooks on. Brooks Agnew has been a guest on our show several times, and he's a scientist as well he's just an incredible guy. He's got a pedigree as long as my arm, but he talks about thought experiments, you know, and that's what he uses to solve problems. And basically the paranormal portal is a big thought experiment.
It doesn't matter if we're right or wrong. The idea is to get the idea out there.
I'm not speaking to the merit of the thought involved, but it's what we bring to the table. And of course, you know, we would love for you guys to become involved with it as well. If you have things that you're wondering about that you'd like to hear us cover on the show,
or guests that you think would fit. Yeah, on the
if there's
show.
If there's a guest you think would be a good fit for the portal, then that's fantastic. Please email us at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com, and we'll be happy to share your story on the air if you've got a story of your own on the show. But also, if you know, we're always on this journey, and we have the Paranormal Portal has actually a few different incarnations. There's a YouTube channel as well, and you can find us on YouTube by going to youtube.com/paranormalportal. And if you want to follow the show and what we're doing or any announcements, definitely follow our Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/paranormalportalradio. And we'll be always posting there if there's anything coming up, or if there's any great news about the portal. You're going to learn it first there. But we're also on Twitter, aren't we?
I guess so.
Well, I mean,
it's growing.
So here's the thing. I'm not a tweeter. I'm not a good tweeter, but I'm working on it. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested and you have a Twitter account, please follow us on twitter.com/ I guess you don't do that over there. You go at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. and they didn't give me enough room for the other A in there. So it's P-O-R-T-L. So it's Paranormal P-O-R-T-L. And you can follow us over there and become a part of our family any one of those ways. But, you know, again, we're not going to come to any conclusions here tonight, but these are some pretty compelling discussion points, I think.
I agree.
Oh, well.
Absolutely.
And the discussions will always continue, ladies and gentlemen. This podcast will be dropping 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And we'll be generally discussing ghosts and spirits and stuff on Mondays. On Wednesday's shows, there's going to be the UFO and the, you know, ancient aliens and breakaway civilization kind of stuff. And then on Friday is going to be the cryptids and Bigfoot and dogmen and all of that. And we've got some amazing friends that are going to become always be a part of the show. We've had some amazing guests in the past discussing those very topics as well. So the portal is always engaging. So
hey, a fun fact.
Yeah.
So Han Solo said he did the Kessel run in 12 parsecs, right?
Okay.
You know, parsecs are not a measurement of time.
I didn't know that, I guess. That's a distance?
It's a distance. Oh. So 12 parsecs is 39 million light years.
Wow.
Just FYI.
Now, see, that makes sense, though, because in the Solo movie, mm-hmm. they kind of went into that weird singularity thing. And
I'm sorry, not 39 million, 39 light years.
39 light years. Right. Okay, very cool.
So he did it that fast. That's,
but I saw it on the movie. It was right. pretty good run. But I think it has a lot to do with that squid thing.
Yeah, that's possible.
But it looks like they took care of that at the same time when they did the Kessel run. So, but ladies and gentlemen, that's about going to wrap up the show for tonight. Thank you so much for being a part of the portal. Anything in closing, Don?
No. Thank you. We look forward to the portal growing and encompassing, the entire world. What are we going to do today, Pinky?
I think we're going to take over the world, right? That's what we're working on. We'll see if we can make it happen. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and laugh as much as you can. So, all right, guys, have a great night, and we will see you on the next Portal podcast.
Good night.
Don't miss it. We will be taking attendance. All right, ladies and gentlemen, have a great night.
Hi, this is Don with Paranormal Portal. Thank you for checking out our Paranormal Portal podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/Paranormal Portal. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Paranormal Portal Radio.
Sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.